97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with Bo Matthew and Carl Middleman in here running the board for us. Thank you.
Good to see you, Mark. How
Great
are you?
Great to see you, my friend. I'm doing well.
It's another crazy week. And the crazy stories are like low-hanging fruit anymore.
It really is. It's amazing to me, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about it through the course of the show today. But, you know, for example, this past week, as I covered on my show, the president goes across country again talking about violence, and then he adds the word gun in front of it. In these major cities where they're racked with violence, Philadelphia, Chicago, obviously flew up to Chicago a week ago and talked to a Mayor Lightfoot up there, or whatever her name is. And
True, right? Yeah.
And Lori Lightfoot, and nobody in the mainstream media in this country has the guts to ask the question, why do you blame an inanimate object for the actions of a criminal? Because law-abiding citizens are not the problem here, but you always want new laws, and law-abiding citizens are the only ones who pay attention to those laws.
Yeah, the laws have nothing. It's not even on the peripheral of the bad guys,
right,
if you will, the bad people that are committing these crimes. I saw a meme go by on one of my social medias that said, you know, 74 people shot in Chicago. Not one police officer involved.
No.
You know, and it's just, it's so bad. Evil is lurking, and it's very sad to see innocent people that are bystanders, because a lot of cases, I mean, I'm a responsible gun owner, I believe you are. You practice, you're familiar. Could you imagine, I had this thought, could you imagine the death toll if the bad guys truly knew what they were doing with their firearms?
Oh, of course.
I mean, it would be four times as much in the death.
Yeah, yeah. To that point, I mean, you've got, it's silly season in America. One of the big stories this week was criticism, the liberal minds blown over the Block 19. Did you see that? The Lego-looking gun?
Yes.
That
yes.
was, you know, red and yellow and blue and sort of looked like it was built out of, not really Legos, but it kind of looked like that. It was actually a working firearm that a company put out and immediately had to withdraw. Culper Precision is the one that customized the Glock and called it a Block 19. And the gun control nuts, Shannon Watts, you know, they all came out and claimed that this was dangerous and kids would pick this up and think it's a toy. Bo said the exact right thing a minute ago. Gun people, us, the people that listen to this show, are law-abiding citizens, and we're safe gun owners, and we have gun safes, and we keep our guns locked up, and that's just a fact. They want you to act like people are going to buy this gun. I don't know who would buy it. And first of all, it's ugly, and it does look like a toy.
Right.
Who, you wouldn't carry something that looked like that to begin with. But you don't just leave your guns laying around. I don't know anybody that does that, do you?
And no. You wouldn't let a kid play with that
of
either.
Of course not.
And it's horrifying when you do hear those stories
yes.
of a four-year-old grabbing it, because, you know, that is not a responsible gun owner who is that person. They're getting it out of their, you know, out of their dad's pocket or their mom's purse or whatever. Law-abiding gun owners take all the precautions, because we know that they can be dangerous. They can be dangerous, but they're also a barrel of fun. If I can use a pun.
Did you just come up with that?
I'm on the run. I did. But Brandon Scott is the president of Culper's Precisions. I don't know why he did it. He did tell the Washington Post that Lego was polite but firm. And
well, they kind of use, it's not their logo, but they use their font, and they could get sued.
That will happen, and they'll do what they need to do. And this story made me think of pink pistols. If you've seen mm-hmm. at the gun store, or different colors, I think pink was like one of the first, you know, crazy colors. And I think that there is some truth that if a small child sees that, they would think that is a toy, just because of the coloring. But again, if you're a responsible gun owner, you would not have it accessible to a child.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the bad guys in the big cities around the country that are doing all the killing on each other, I truly believe it could be a lot worse if they were better shots. It's just, and I'm glad they're not. I'm glad they're not. That my opinion.
No. I think you're absolutely right. I'm a fan of the regular good old black looking Glocks myself.
Right,
in fact,
right.
I'm about to buy another one. Mm-hmm. I talked to my friends at the range who are a sponsor of my show, and they are having trouble getting them in right now. The ones they're ordering. But we were also talking about those stimulus checks that came out.
Yep.
This past week, the new child tax credit starting to come out. What I've said is, you know what's going to happen? These people are going to get these extra checks for $300, $600, $900. They're going to Best Buy to get a TV, or they're going clothes shopping, or they're paying off bills. And a lot of people I know are going to turn around. They're going to go buy a handgun,
right? Mm-hmm.
Or buy something.
And if you think an opposite world that I believe that we're living in for the last couple of years,
yes.
That you know, the amount of gun sales. A lot of people want to talk about how many guns were sold last year, whatever it is, 80 million, 90 million, whatever it is. I think a lot of the stimulus money was gravy for a lot of people. And they thought, you know what, I will go get that Glock that I've always wanted and accessorize, or bought the car that they wanted. Now they got the down payment. Will the stimulus money go for the children that's being put out there right now? Who knows?
Yeah, here's my question. My bone of contention is, if you got all that stimulus money and you can afford to buy a car with it, get your license tags done. Drives me nuts. I'm driving down the interstate the other day, and mm-hmm. I see a car whose temporary tag expired in, I think it was 2019. Now, that's not the most egregious example I've seen, but I did hear where the governor was signing a bill that would change that moving
yes.
forward, where car dealerships would start issuing, you'd pay your license fee when you bought the vehicle.
But they would stretch it out.
They're stretching it out
so you don't have to pay. That's the problem with this. The tax is you have to pay up front, and it's like 5% of the car, so you have to pay all up front, and they can't afford it.
I've been lobbying for that for years.
Absolutely.
I've never understood, because every temporary tag you see is potentially thousands of dollars that haven't been paid.
Tax cheats.
That are due to the government, right? Why would the government allow that situation to continue?
What other item can you buy, Mark, that you don't pay the tax when you buy it? Food or items or whatever?
But they're saying you pay the car off in 5 years. You should be able to pay the taxes off on that for 5 years.
Now, can you work the tax into the payment?
That's what they're trying to change.
Yes. I got you. Okay. Well, that would make sense. I mean, they would get their taxes, but it should be done in the first year, kind of like the principal home loan.
Thank you.
I'm crazy.
It just makes perfect sense. These troublemakers.
Speaking of laws.
Crazy lawmakers. Law banning handgun sales to Americans under 21 violates Second Amendment. A federal appeals court ruled Tuesday of this week that prohibitions on selling handguns to Americans under 21 violates the Second Amendment. That latest legal victory for gun rights advocates in federal court. Thoughts on this here? Because
this was a Johnson administration law.
because you can go into the military at 17 or 18 years old, be proficient as a sharpshooter in their basic training, but yet they have these rules in place.
Yeah, it's silly. It's just silly.
It goes back to the old argument of, if I can serve my country, you should be able to serve me a beer. Have you heard that argument?
Yeah, and if you can go in and buy a rifle, you should be able to go in and buy a handgun. Because, again, the problem we have in America is that the anti-gun groups want to convince you that everybody who buys a gun is a potential criminal. Criminals don't go to gun stores to buy guns. They don't go to Walmart. They don't go to Dick's. They don't go to stores, gun stores, to buy guns. They buy them illegally on the street. You're not stopping anything that contributes to crime.
Or they steal
by letting a 21-year-old who's considered responsible enough to conceal carry, certainly at 19, I believe it is in Missouri now, to not be able to go legally purchase a handgun. It's just silly season.
Well, and we're seeing in the outlying communities of this metro that these teams, they call it a ring, actually, of going into neighborhoods and checking on doors
stealing
vehicles
guns.
To steal mm-hmm. guns. There was a shooting out in Eureka that I saw Colonel. Mike Wurgis is a buddy of mine. I don't even know his rank. I got him in my phone. Anyway. I saw him. Yeah,
don't do that.
Retired. Yeah, but anyway, I saw him on TV talking about it, and you can see the Ring door video cam. The guy, you know, in the middle of the night sees him. The guy in his vehicle, he goes out with a firearm in his hand. Thank goodness, but without even thinking about it, as soon as the guy knows the homeowner is coming out, he starts shooting And so the homeowner returns fire. Now, he's not in trouble, but they haven't found that guy, as far as I know, as of the recording of this show.
So the shooter did not hit the suspect.
He did not, okay. And he also did not get shot. But the criminal, if you will, or the alleged criminal, he shot without even thinking about it. Just, you know, boom, you know, just start shooting it. That's frightening. Jumped into a stolen car and took off. So I'm sorry I don't have the full story of whether they've apprehended him, because most of the times they're not. But they're going through these huge subdivisions, checking door handles, which there is also a bill.
They're trying to make a law that you can't just walk up to cars and see if it's unlocked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That came out this week that they're trying to work on that. So, if you're walking through Walmart and a police officer sees you, you know, grab the wrong door handle, that could be a law and illegal.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at a recent situation I had. We went camping, right? And we were at Mizzou. We were in Columbia. Went out with my kid. I wanted to stay out later than my wife, so she went back to go to bed, right, in the campground. And I took an Uber back later in the middle of the night, like 2 in the morning. And as I'm walking to the trailer,
you have no idea where you are.
I look over and realize that the door on my truck, the knob is sticking up. It had not been locked properly. And I thought, without thinking, because I'd had a few cocktails, I'm going to open the door and lock the car. Well, my wife had hit the button
remote, yep.
With the remote, but for some reason that door lock didn't go down. And when I
opened the alarm, is still on.
The alarm went off in the campground at 2:30 in the morning. And I'll bet all these people, those thin little walls,
they
wanted
love
to
you.
Kill me. I'll bet they wanted to kill me. So anyway,
well, at least it was your car.
At least it was my car. I was checking.
I know, but in the future you could be arrested for that.
Could, I know.
You got to be careful.
One more story we have: they found sharks in Missouri.
Okay, this is crazy. Now, I spent some time down in Florida, so I learned about brackish water, which is salt water and fresh water combined. Oh. And so sometimes creatures make it a little further inland in the waterways. And it's kind of freaky because, you know, if it's 30 or 40 miles in, that's quite a ways.
Yeah.
But if you've seen, if you remember seeing, like, you know, the flood of 93, aerial photos or satellite photos, how brown the water is coming out of the Mississippi into the ocean, really do see how far that brackish water goes. And this story, it kind of shocked me because they say that sharks were caught in the Mississippi River near St. Louis. And the rest of the headline on KMOX.com is, researchers want to know more. Yeah, we do too. And it's a good thing that it's not on the Missouri River, because our next guest that we're going to be having is Ryan Connolly. He's going to be doing this kayak race. That would be horrible. A pair of researchers released a new report about instances of bull sharks traveling 1,100 miles up the Mississippi River from the Gulf of Mexico to our area. And they've even brought in some paleontologists. This guy named Dr. Ryan Schell, he's a researcher at the Cincinnati Museum Center, and his colleague, Nick Gardner, weeded through a number of possible hoaxes and false reports to find two real instances of sharks spotted in the area. So I don't know who swims. I've never swam in the Mississippi.
Ew, why would you?
I've swam in Fountain Creek, which is a waterway off of the Mississippi, and it was clearer. But they call Mississippi mud, or the muddy Mississippi, for a reason.
Yeah, it's gross.
So the fact that they have...
They found one in Alton.
I didn't know it was Alton.
One was Alton in 1937. So it goes back like 84 years.
Oh, this wasn't last Saturday?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
See, this is where...
But see, Mark, this is the
fake
thing.
Fake news, Carl.
Mark, you have to understand, I don't ever read the whole story.
Right.
So,
but the other one was 1995, so that's more recent.
Okay, yeah. We'll take that. Now they serve shark chunks at
Cybers.
Cybers, there you go.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's scary.
So
yeah,
it is possible, though. That's the crazy thing, is that they have made it up this far.
Or somebody released one in the river and it lived
as a baby
for a little while. I don't know.
You bring up a good point.
It's the 25-pound koi and the goldfish.
That's been making the news with the Missouri Conservation Department about, you know, people, you think of releasing your pets, your dog, your cat out in the, let's go for the, you know, ride to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing that with their, we talked about it on the show.
We did.
And these koi fish are gigantic.
Now I heard a 25-pounder.
You need more tartar sauce, for sure.
Yeah.
Would you
yeah.
eat that, though?
No.
That'd be a horrible fish to eat.
No. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm glad that we've covered the Second Amendment to some extent already. I'm glad you brought up Ryan Connolly, because, you know, I've been kayaking before, but not, like, beyond a very small lake or river. I never had to go far.
Right.
This guy is about to set... Well, I don't know if he's going to set a record because they do this every year, but he's about to set off on a journey that is that could take 4 days in a kayak on the Missouri River.
I don't want to ride in a Cadillac for 4 days. but yeah, Ryan and I have met about 6 months ago. He is a sponsor in Season Financial of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. And the more I learn about the guy, just like you learned that Bo doesn't read the whole story ever, just know that for the future, Mark. Ryan is a great guy. We're going to talk to him about what he's about to expect on this this journey that starts next week. Pretty exciting.
And do you have a silencer? Have you ever tried to buy one? We got a guy on who's the founder of the Silencer Shop, and he's going to explain how you get one, the history of them. Fascinating stuff. It's all coming up on the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We're back in a minute. Carl Middleman with the bump music. I'm telling you what, he does it every time. Never disappoints. Glad you're with us here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox along with Bo Matthews. And we've got a guest in studio today, Bo. That's fantastic.
We do. And I call him the Chuck Norris of the outdoors because he does everything. And I know he's embarrassed by that. But, you know, most people that live what they say. You know, they walk the walk. They don't just talk the talk. So we're going to meet Ryan Connolly in just a moment. But this segment, because it's outdoors, the outdoors portion of this program, I want to mention it's brought to you by Chuck's Boots Superstores. Oh, they don't use superstores anymore. I don't know why, because they have over 100,000 pairs of boots. But Chuck's Boots, Fenton, St. Peter's, and online at chucksboots.com, where you can win a Polaris 1000 General with thorough good boots. So just go to chucksboots.com, or you can go to Chuck's Boots Facebook page.
They are super stores. They're not superstores. They are super stores.
I think they're trying to detach from the big box thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mark, I wanted to have our guest in, Ryan Connolly from In Season Financial. He is a sponsor of the show, but it's because he's about ready to embark on the Missouri 340. Are you familiar with this?
I am not. I'm still stuck on the Walker Texas Ranger roundhouse kick that I'm expecting at the end of the segment, because you brought up Norris.
I build him up.
I know. That's good.
Explain what, Ryan, what the Missouri 340 is. I've only known one other person to complete it. How about you?
So the race, it's called the MR 340.
Oh, I kept calling them Missouri 340.
That's okay. No, it's the MR 340. It starts in right, literally on the border of Kansas and Missouri, on the Missouri River, and it ends up in St. Charles, which is great because that's where I live, and I can be finished and go straight to bed.
To bed, yeah, exactly. This is by kayak.
Well, it's kayak or canoe, any kind of. Basically, those are the two main crafts. There are some pretty interesting boats that have been custom made that have 3, 4, 6 people in them at a time. So as long as it doesn't have a sail or a motor, obviously, but using traditional paddles, or they even have some pedal powered boats. Those are all allowed. There's different classes for people. You can do it individually, like I said, or in tandem.
And how are you doing it?
I'm going on a tandem kayak with a buddy of mine.
And how long does it generally take?
Well, that's a good question. You have 85 hours to get it all finished.
Oh, there's a maximum. But not a minimum.
And there's a boat that keeps the pace. It's called the Reaper. And if you fall behind it, you're out.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I guess that's the first safety measures. They can't have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people across the river, you know, if something happens along those lines. Plus, I'm sure everybody wants to get done with it.
Right.
The records are, you know, like in the 36, 37 hour range. So there are people that have gone straight through the night and really not stopped much at all. But I think most of the people are looking in like the 50 to 70 hour range.
So probably. you stop and then rest on the side of the river? Do you camp? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. There's a handful, about 9 different stops that you have to check in.
Okay.
So either you have to get out and let one of the officials know, or somebody on your ground crew does. And it's up to you. If you want to paddle all the way through the night, you can. If you want to stop and camp, you know, the most of the checkpoints are established boat ramps. So there's a lot of space available. But relatively speaking, there's a lot of space available to set up camps and stuff.
How many people usually take part?
I think the last time I checked, the registration had just under 500 boats.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah.
That's
wow.
A lot of
I was completely unaware that this even happened. But, you know, it's a commitment. I mean, you couldn't just decide last week that you were going to go out and do this. You'd have to... How long have you been training for this thing?
So I've heard for the race, well over a year.
Wow.
You know, and when I say training, it's I'm not an Olympic trainer or anything.
But you're not floating like Mark and I do,
right,
with
cooler
beer.
Exactly,
and,
right, you know,
I'm guessing.
Nothing quite that extensive. But I heard about the event probably 6 years ago or so. And I always thought it was neat. And just finally... entered into like the Facebook forum that they have, the page that they have, and started talking to some people, and then found out a buddy of mine has been wanting to do it too. We actually participated in it last year as a ground crew. So there was another paddler who's going to be going with us, and we basically followed along. And you know, when he would come up to check in, we would pick up his boat, make sure that, you know, he had his new water and all the other stuff that's necessary, kind of like a pit crew on a NASCAR race.
Right. So, do you carry provisions with you, or do they feed you on these stops where you stop?
Oh, I mean, if you have a ground crew, that's the best. And some of these ground crews are toting around nice Class A motorhomes. I mean, they're not really roughing it,
right? Right.
Not at all.
Well, they're not.
No. But there are some that are doing it totally unsupported, and they're sleeping under a tarp. I mean,
right.
it runs the gamut. The nice thing is most of these towns along the river have, during these events, you know, like the VFW hall or the Boy Scouts will set up a tent or two and, you know, cook hot dogs, hamburgers. And
that's health food.
Well, at that
it's
point
something.
Time,
eating
it
carbs.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah.
It almost doesn't matter as far as that goes. But, you get to support the local community to some degree and make it simple.
Well, good. Ryan Conley is our guest from In Season Financial. We're talking to him about the 340 kayak race, MR 340 kayak race.
Correct? Yes.
Missouri River. I was always saying Missouri 340.
Okay. That's all right. You know, I'm fascinated by that because as a reporter for many years, I know I used to cover issues with water levels in the river and how much states upstream would restrict that and the risk of making it not navigable certain times of the year, because it used to be a major waterway to bring in coal and other things down that river. How much of a challenge is that? Is that something you have to learn to watch out for when you're on the river? You're still seeing big boats and all that.
Oh yeah, barges are probably one of the biggest things we have to worry about.
Yeah.
The river is pretty well marked, but even the way they mark it with the buoys can be dangerous because they're big, they're heavy, and they swing back and forth. So you have to keep an eye out. And at night, it gets to be a real challenge, obviously.
Oh,
now, they do a good job. You know, every year when they schedule it, it's around the moon phases. So you have a full moon to give, you know, at least you have that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, but that brings all the crazies out, too. So
you have to watch out for the barge traffic, though. For some of the people in these really nice, slick, sleek kayaks and canoes that are really lightweight, they almost need to pull over to wait for the wakes to go through. The kayak that I'm in, I mean, it's a beast. It's a tank. I mean, Rob and I, the buddy of mine and I, we're not small dudes, so we can barrel through most of the wake so far. I mean, at least in our practice runs, we've been doing okay. But yeah, the barge traffic can be significant.
Well, I a couple of years ago, a buddy of mine who's a songwriter in Nashville, actually, he came up here to do it, and he thought, because he'd never done it, he didn't do the pit crew type of experience of the year before, so he was going in blind. and he figured he was going to get the smallest kayak because it would be the lightest and it would be the easiest. It turned out that was the wrong decision for just paddling, you know, to get down the, you know, just to get down the river at any normal speed. So he really struggled. He did finish, but he struggled a lot.
Oh, I mean, the type of boat you have can make a huge difference. You know, there are a lot of kayaks that you can buy, big box stores, sure. You know, 10 foot long, couple hundred bucks. I mean, yes, that will do it.
How long is yours?
The one that we're is 23 feet long.
Whoa, that's like a skiff. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's
two people.
It's a two person.
Yeah.
But even most of the people that are doing it in individual kayaks, it's probably 17, you know, type, you know, minimum.
Right, right.
Well, that's good. You can go to rivermiles.com if you want to find out more about it. I believe that's the home of the MR 340, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, I want to try that. Maybe you want to do the pit crew experience.
Yeah,
you can do that
next year.
And do you have a pit crew?
We do.
A ground crew, I guess you call it?
A ground crew, yep, which is going to be vital.
So in training, before we close out, in training, how long is the longest you've gone? Because you're talking 340 miles.
I know.
You went 20?
No, we got a little bit more. We've gone about 60 miles in one day.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, train for the event and then participate. There needs to be some difference.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll find out if we made the right choice.
Okay, and the race actually begins next Friday, is that correct?
Actually, it's next Tuesday.
Oh,
wow.
Next Tuesday on the 20th.
Well, we're going to have to either get you on the phone after the fact or whatever to see how things fared.
Sounds good.
See how many hours it took you. But Ryan Conley from In Season Financial, great sponsor for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Thanks for explaining it, what it is. We wish you luck. Be safe. And pack an extra protein bar or something with you. Yeah. My goodness.
You know, something I've always been interested in, thank you, Ryan, great to meet you, is the issue of suppressors. And if you've always had questions about them or you want to find out more, this is your opportunity. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dave Matheny from the Silencer Shop, and he's a member of the American Suppressor Association. I didn't even know such a thing existed, but we're going to talk to Dave Matheny when we come back. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Rock the boat.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping.
Okay, I'm waiting for the line.
Oh. Is it? No, you can talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Carl Middleman, the jukebox runner right there.
Pew, pew.
And
here we go. Here it is. Here it is.
Within the sound of silence.
You do put some effort into it, I got to tell you. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your silencer shop. You can go in there. They've got a beautiful kiosk and get you set up if that's what you've been wanting to do. And you're thinking, why would I want a silencer? Well, in this segment, we're going to find out why. But Razorback Armory in DePere on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270. Go to RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you in there. And we have our next guest, Dave Matheny, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop. I said silencer shop. I meant silencer kiosk in their store at Razorback Armory, but board member of the American Suppressor Association. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us to shed some light on the importance and the benefits of having a suppressor on your firearm. If you want to explain generally how long you've been a suppressor fan.
You know, I actually got into suppressors in around 2008, so it's been about, I guess, 12, 13 years now, something like that.
Well, that's fantastic. What I mean, why did you first take that step in? Was it for personal reasons?
Yeah, it was. My son was born 100% deaf in his right ear, and I was just getting a suppressor to protect his good ear. That's really what it boiled down to for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I just don't think a lot of people, I mean, first of all, there's a little bit of work goes into getting one,
yes,
right? And I think maybe people maybe casual sportsmen don't look at them as often as they should, which is why we're excited to have you on here, Dave, because you can kind of explain to us the advantages of using a silencer.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, seriously, for hunters especially, that's the category, I believe, where every single hunter should always have a suppressor on their gun. It's you're out in the woods all day. Most hunters, man, they take one shot. They're out there all day. They take one shot, so they don't wear hearing protection. And that hearing loss, that little bit every year adds up until you're 60 or 70 years old and you can't have normal conversations anymore. You don't realize it when you're, 25, 30 years old, but that damage never repairs itself.
Absolutely. It is interesting, though. I think most people, whether they own firearms or not, they think of what they've seen from Hollywood movies and TV shows, right? The silencer is the bad guy. And when I learned that it's actually a hearing protection for the most part, it just immediately makes it, to me, more mainstream. But what's interesting, and I don't know how much, Mark, you know about them, but you can switch them from a 9mm caliber pistol to a 9mm rifle, if that's your choosing. They can adapt to more than one firearm as long as they're the same caliber, which I think is really fantastic. So it's almost like universal. Am I correct?
That's right. And you don't even, with silencers, you don't even care about caliber. You care about bore size and pressure. So if the bullet will fit through and the suppressor can handle the pressure, you can use it. So there are a lot of 9mm cans that will even work on your AR-15.
I didn't know that.
They're not as quiet. But they do work.
So I guess do you have to have a threaded barrel? Do you have to get your barrel threaded? How do they fit on? I've honestly never used one.
Yeah, man, most barrels anymore come threaded, so it's not as big of a hassle as it used to be. But even if you have a rifle that's not threaded, it's pretty straightforward. It's usually about $75 to have a gunsmith do it. On pistols, you have to change the barrel out because you need it to extend past the end of the slide with a threaded section. So, yeah, it has to be threaded. AR-15s, for example, are all threaded.
I actually had an opportunity to go out with a vendor, a manufacturer vendor, and they had several silencers. Of course, it looks like a full artillery on the table at the shooting range, but they had a lot of opportunity for us to shoot them, and I was so surprised that the preconceived notion that the gun is going to bang, it's going to it's going to recoil. It all goes away because there's less recoil, I believe. I don't know if that's true, but it feels like it. But you're not afraid of that bang, even if you're at the shooting range a lot. I mean, it's just you can screw up your aim just by anticipating, that noise that's going to come. Correct?
Yep. And the suppressor will generally reduce recoil by more than a muzzle brake on most calibers. It's a huge reduction in recoil and an increase in accuracy too. Once again, in most scenarios.
Right.
Yeah. So there are some real benefits to using them.
Yeah, part of that depends on the shooter. I don't know if it would increase my accuracy or not.
I tell you, for bad shooters, it makes a bigger difference. And I'm not saying you're a bad shooter.
Sure.
I think you kind of did.
We know what you're saying, Dave. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Let's talk about
the reduced recoil, because recoil has a massive impact on people's accuracy.
Yeah.
And once that goes away, accuracy tends to improve.
Yeah. It's about that apprehension. My wife is a better shot than I am.
I've heard you say that.
Her blood runs ice cold, and she just has her heart rate stays completely calm the whole time, no matter what I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So Mark had mentioned that it's an involved process to get a silencer for your weapon. Again, I mentioned Razorback Armory. They do a great job. I would presume Silencer Shop is a store you can shop at to get them?
Actually, no. We basically have those kiosks that we deploy all over the country. We're a distributor. We handle the paperwork. But it's Razorback. They're one of our dealers.
I didn't know that. That's fantastic. So let's walk through that process, because it does take time if this is what you're after.
Yeah. So the process is pretty simple. You walk into the store, or you can go to silencershop.com. The end result is the same. You buy your silencer. You have to go into the store and use the kiosk one time. So if you buy 100 silencers over the course of however many years, you still only have to go to it once.
Oh.
Enter your information, takes about 5 minutes, and then we process all the paperwork on the back end. Once you've gone through the kiosk, we manage everything. The hardest part is truly the wait. So there's nothing hard about buying a silencer. We've automated and made it all as simple as possible.
Right. That's great.
By the time you've waited 8 months, you can feel like it was hard. It's like being a kid before Christmas for 8 months.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah. And what takes so long with that, Dave? Is it just backlog with the federal government, or is it a background check? What all are they doing in that period of time?
You know, it really is a very manual process for the government. It's not very efficient on their side. So it's not some intense background check, nothing like that. It's them shuffling paper, right?
Oh, God.
It's pretty crazy.
No, we've got a lot of government. They should be able to get that filed right through.
Yeah.
This is the group that wants to take over healthcare, and they can't process paperwork in 8 months. Dave, I do have to ask this. Is the cost a barrier for some folks?
Yeah, now there is a $200 tax. Wherever you buy a silencer, there's a $200 tax that goes on top of whatever you buy. The price of the silencers generally range from $200 or $300 up to $800 to $1,000. Most silencers kind of fall in that range, about the same as most firearms, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you throw the tax on top of it. So, of course, cost will be a barrier for some, but with inflation, I think that $200 tax has gotten to the point where people can swing it to get a suppressor.
Well, Dave, I would love to have you talk real quick just about the history of the suppressors and who invented it. And that factoid, I think a lot of people will take with them and go, you know, hey, did you know? And they're going to use that for the rest of their life. So share that information, if you would.
Yeah, really, the suppressors were invented back in the early 1900s. You know, and basically for the exact same reasons we use them today, just to make it more comfortable to shoot. And Hiram Percy Maxim, who invented the silencer, also welded that first suppressor onto the tailpipe of a car, and that's where mufflers come from.
Yeah.
Maxim Silencer is still in business as a muffler company.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And you know, I assume the technology has improved through the years.
Oh, yeah. It's even over the last 10 years, there have been some pretty vast jumps, although the basic underlying technology is still the same as it was in, you know, 19 whatever, right?
Yeah, I'm sure, because all you think of is, you know, the James Bond movie where he pulls the gun out and he's screwing the silencer on the end because he's getting ready to take somebody out.
Right.
The sound is not the same, and the reason you have one is not the same.
Yeah, they are not silent. On TV, you would think they're this silent tool, and they're just not. Like an AR-15, for example, it's as loud as a jack on concrete, even with a suppressor. So people will hear it. Most people still wear plugs. It's reduced significantly, but it's not silent.
Well, the reason you got involved in this industry and to be a proponent of it was about your child. Does your child have his good ear still, and is he also a fan of firearms?
Yeah, actually. He lives up in Wyoming now. He's a huge outdoorsman.
Nice.
And I don't think we'll ever get him back to Texas, honestly.
I think that's fantastic. You've informed me a lot. Dave Matheny, our guest here, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop, a board member of the American Suppressor Association. And is there a good website for people to go to, Dave, if they want to find out more about the process and finding one of the kiosks?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go to silencershop.com. We've got tons of information, videos, articles. You can find a kiosk usually within a couple miles of your house. It's there's a lot of information there.
Well, that's fantastic. As I mentioned, Razorback Armory has one of your kiosks. I didn't know that connection was there, but good to know that it is. And we really thank you for your information, Dave. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Our pleasure. Dave Matheny there, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop. This is I love shooting. I love hunting. I love finding out new information about shooting and hunting. And
absolutely.
That's fascinating to me because I just had a friend the other day, maybe a couple of months ago, who sent me a text, and he was all excited because he'd finally gotten his paperwork back and could go pick up his suppressor.
Nice.
from the gun store, right?
Yep.
It does take a while, and it just makes no sense.
It does. Months and months sometimes. But you know what? If you start now, it'll be one day closer to getting it delivered.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, I think that's it, huh?
I think so. Good deal.
All right. Mark Cox, Carl Middleman. And in this segment, you really should do your signature move, but quietly.
Pew, pew.
Because the silencer. Get it? We put a silencer on Carl. Is that possible?
Oh, you just made a whole bunch of people happy.
Yeah. How much is that going to cost me? Because I might invest today. I'm just teasing.
Exactly. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Thank you for listening. Please share the this broadcast on our Odyssey app as well with all your friends and family. And have a great weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Okay, I'm waiting for the line. Is it?
No, you can talk about
okay, well, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, Carl Mittleman, the jukebox runner right there.
Pew, pew.
And
here we go, here it is, here it is.
Within the sound.
You do put some effort into it, I got to tell you. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your silencer shop. You can go in there. They've got a beautiful kiosk and get you set up if that's what you've been wanting to do. And you're thinking, why would I want a silencer? Well, in this segment, we're going to find out why. But Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270. Go to RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you in there. And we have our next guest, Dave Matheny, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop. I said silencer shop. I meant silencer kiosk in their store at Razorback Armory, but board member of the American Suppressor Association. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us to shed some light on the importance and the benefits of having a suppressor on your firearm. If you want to explain generally how long you've been a suppressor fan.
You know, I actually got into suppressors in around 2008, so it's been about, I guess, 12, 13 years now, something like that.
Well, that's fantastic. What I mean, why did you first take that step in? Was it for personal reasons?
Yeah, it was. My son was born 100% deaf in his right ear, and I was just getting a suppressor to protect his good ear. That's really what it boiled down to for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I just don't think a lot of people... I mean, first of all, there's a little bit of work goes into getting one, yes. Right? And I think maybe people maybe casual sportsmen don't look at them as often as they should, which is why we're excited to have you on here, Dave, because you can kind of explain to us the advantages of using a silencer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's seriously, for hunters especially, that's the category, I believe, where every single hunter should always have a suppressor on their gun. It's you're out in the woods all day. Most hunters, man, they take one shot. They're out there all day. They take one shot, so they don't wear hearing protection. And that hearing loss, that little bit every year, adds up until you're 60 or 70 years old and you can't have normal conversations anymore. You don't realize it when you're, 25, 30 years old, but that damage never repairs itself.
Absolutely. You know, it is interesting, though. I think most people, whether they own firearms or not, they think of what they've seen from Hollywood movies and TV shows, right? The silencer is the bad guy. And when I learned that it's actually a hearing protection for the most part, it just immediately makes it, to me, more mainstream. But what's interesting, and I don't know how much, Mark, you know about them, but you can switch them from a 9mm caliber pistol to a 9mm rifle, if that's your choosing. They can adapt to more than one firearm as long as they're the same caliber, which I think is really fantastic. So it's almost like universal. Am I correct?
That's right. And you don't even with silencers, you don't even care about caliber. You care about bore size and pressure. So if the bullet will fit through and the suppressor can handle the pressure, you can use it. So there are a lot of 9mm cans that'll even work on your AR-15.
I didn't know that.
Efficient, they're not as quiet. But they do work.
So I guess do you have to have a threaded barrel? Do you have to get your barrel threaded? How do they fit on? I've honestly never used one.
Yeah, man, most barrels anymore come threaded, so it's not as big of a hassle as it used to be. But even if you have a rifle that's not threaded, it's pretty straightforward. It's usually about $75 to have a gun to it. On pistols, you have to change the barrel out because you need it to extend past the end of the slide with a threaded section. So, yeah, it has to be threaded. AR 15s, for example, are all threaded.
I actually had an opportunity to go out with a vendor, a manufacturer vendor, and they had several silencers. Of course, you know, it looks like a full artillery on the table at the shooting range, but they had a lot of opportunity for us to shoot them. And I was so surprised that, the preconceived notion that the gun is going to bang, it's going to recoil. It all goes away because there's less recoil, I believe. I don't know if that's true, but it feels like it. But you're not afraid of that bang, even if you're at the shooting range a lot. I mean, it's just you can screw up your aim just by anticipating, that noise that's going to come. Correct.
Yep, and a suppressor will generally reduce recoil by more than a muzzle brake on most calibers. It's a huge reduction in recoil, and an increase in accuracy too. Once again, in most scenarios.
Right.
Yeah. So there are some real benefits to using them.
Yeah, part of that depends on the shooter. I don't know if it would increase my accuracy or not.
I tell you, for bad shooters, it makes a bigger difference. Because and I'm not saying you're a bad shooter.
Sure.
I think you kind of did.
We know what you're saying, Dave. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Let's talk
about the reduced recoil, because recoil has a massive impact on people's accuracy.
Yeah.
And once that goes away, accuracy tends to improve.
Yeah. It's about that apprehension. My wife is a better shot than I am.
I've heard you say that.
Her blood runs ice cold, and she just has her heart rate stays completely calm the whole time, no matter what I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So Mark had mentioned that it's an involved process to get a silencer for your weapon. Again, I mentioned Razorback Armory. They do a great job. I would presume Silencer Shop is a store you can shop at to get them?
Actually, no. We basically have those kiosks that we deploy all over the country. We're a distributor. We handle the paperwork. But it's Razorback. They're one of our dealers.
I didn't know that. That's fantastic. So let's walk through that process, because it does take time if this is what you're after.
Yeah. So basically, the process is pretty simple. You walk into the store, or you can go to silencershop.com. The end result is the same. You buy your silencer. You have to go into the store and use the kiosk one time. So if you buy 100 silencers over the course of however many years, you still only have to go to it once.
Oh.
Enter your information, takes about 5 minutes, and then we process all the paperwork on the back end. You know, once you've gone through the kiosk, we manage everything. The hardest part is truly the wait. So there's nothing hard about buying a silencer. We've automated and made it all as simple as possible.
Right. That's great.
By the time you've waited 8 months, you can feel like it was hard. It's like being a kid before Christmas. Months,
yeah, I'm right? sure it is. Yeah, yeah. And what takes so long with that, Dave? Is it just backlog with the federal government, or is it a background check? What all are they doing in that period of time?
You know, it really is a very manual process for the government. It's not very efficient on their side. So it's not some intense background check, nothing like that. It's them shuffling paper, right?
Oh, God.
It's pretty crazy.
No, we've got a lot of government. They should be able to get that filed right through.
Yeah.
This is the group that wants to take over healthcare, and they can't process paperwork in 8 months. Dave, I do have to ask this. Is the cost a barrier for some folks?
Yeah, now there is a $200 tax. Wherever you buy a silencer, there's a $200 tax that goes on top of whatever you buy. The price of the silencers generally range from $200 or $300 up to $800 to $1,000. Most silencers kind of fall in that range, about the same as most firearms, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you throw the tax on top of it. So, of course, cost will be a barrier for some, but with inflation, I think that $200 tax has gotten to the point where it's people can swing it to get a suppressor.
Well, Dave, I would love to have you talk real quick just about the history of the suppressors and who invented it. And that factoid, I think a lot of people will take with them and go, you know, hey, did you know? And they're going to use that for the rest of their life. So share that information, if you would.
Yeah, really, the suppressors were invented back in the early 1900s. You know, and basically for the exact same reasons we use them today, just to make it more comfortable to shoot. And Hiram Percy Maxim, who invented the silencer, also welded that first suppressor onto the tailpipe of a car, and that's where mufflers come from.
Yeah.
Maxim Silencer is still in business as a muffler company.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And you know, I guess, I assume the technology has improved through the years.
Oh, yeah. It's even over the last 10 years, there have been some pretty vast jumps, although the basic underlying technology is still the same as it was in, you know, 19-whatever. Right.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because all you think of is, you know, the James Bond movie where he pulls the gun out and he's screwing the silencer on the end because he's getting ready to take somebody out.
Right.
The sound is not the same, and the reason you have one is not the same.
Yeah, they are not silent. On TV, you would think they're this silent tool, and they're just not. Like an AR-15, for example, it's as loud as a jack on concrete, even with a suppressor. So people will hear it. Most people still wear plugs. It's reduced significantly, but it's not silent.
Well, the reason you got involved in this industry and to be a proponent of it was about your child. Does your child have his good ear still, and is he also a fan of firearms?
Yeah, actually. He lives up in Wyoming now. He's a huge outdoorsman.
Nice.
And I don't think we'll ever get him back to Texas, honestly.
I think that's fantastic. You've informed me a lot. Dave Matheny, our guest here, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop, board member of the American Suppressor Association. And is there a good website for people to go to, Dave, if they want to find out more about the process and finding one of the kiosks?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go to silencershop.com. We've got tons of information, videos, articles. You can find a kiosk usually within a couple miles of your house. It's there's a lot of information there.
Well, that's fantastic. As I mentioned, Razorback Armory has one of your kiosks. I didn't know that connection was there, but good to know that it is. And we really thank you for your information, Dave. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Dave Matheny there, CEO and founder of Silencer Shop. This is I love shooting. I love hunting. I love finding out new information about shooting and hunting. And
absolutely.
That's fascinating to me because I just had a friend the other day, maybe a couple of months ago, who sent me a text, and he was all excited because he'd finally gotten his paperwork back and could go pick up his suppressor.
Nice.
from mm-hmm. the gun store, right? Yep. It does take a while, and it just makes no sense.
It does. Months and months sometimes.
Months.
But you know what? If you start now, it'll be one day closer to getting it
that's
delivered.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, good. I think that's it, huh?
I think so. Good deal.
All right. Mark Cox, Carl Middleman. And in this segment, you really should do your signature move, but quietly.
Pew, pew.
Because the silencer. Get it? We put a silencer on Carl. Is that possible?
Oh, you just made a whole bunch of people happy.
Yeah. How much is that going to cost me? Because I might invest today. I'm just teasing.
Exactly. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Thank you for listening. Please share this broadcast on our Odyssey app as well with all your friends and family. And have a great weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.